Various scriptures from Ephesians 4, 1 to 7 in our meditation this morning, entitled Called by Christ. You know, Youth Sunday is always a great Sunday because we know the youth of our church, they'll provide future leadership for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Some of the remarks that I'm sharing this morning I've adapted from an outline prepared by a young man by the name of Tim Heishman, who does a voluntary service work with the National Youth Ministry Office of the Church of the Brethren. And I would have to agree with Tim that accepting Christ's extraordinary calling is the grateful response that all of us can have to God's grace, whether we call ourselves a youth, a young adult, or an older person. And as they shared this morning, the youth mentioned that our unity is made possible by seven characteristics that we can share as Christians. One body, one spirit, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. The church, and the church, of course, is not the building. It's not these four walls. The church is made up of brothers and sisters in Christ, and these people are called to model and maintain a spiritual unity. We know that we're already united in Christ, and we are called to continue this on a daily basis. Did you ever think about what unity really is? Unity is God's gift to the church, and God gives each of us individual gifts to help promote that unity. Notice in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4. You have to understand the setting of this. Paul often served time in prison throughout his ministry as a consequence of his radical witness to faith in Christ Jesus. And in this particular chapter of Ephesians, chapter 4, he uses the imagery of being a prisoner in the Lord to preface his bold and his powerful calling to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And certainly, I believe God has a special calling for each one of us as well. One Bible commentator notes there's an interesting parallel imagery that Paul's trying to put across here. He's talking about himself as being bound by chains, but he's also urging his readers to keep the unity in the bond of peace. You see, both Paul, who was in prison, and the Ephesian Christians that he's writing this letter to, they were to share in the same captivity, the captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's extravagant love and his grace are what impels any Christian to respond to God's call. Notice in verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians chapter 4, the way to live out our calling is with, and again, the youth mentioned these words just a few minutes ago, humility, gentleness, and patience. And figuring out to what we are called to, this is a challenging process, no matter how old we are, as is living out the call that God has given to you. Humility, gentleness, and patience. These are all necessary on every step of our life's journey, no matter how old we are. Humility, gentleness, patience. These would have been seen in the first century as embarrassing non-assertiveness in the Gentile culture of that time. But Paul knew that for Christians to live and work together in unity, to keep the body of Christ together, we need to practice humility, gentleness, and patience. Did you know what the real definition of patience is? It's not just waiting, but it's the ability to exercise a calm self-control toward persons who might annoy us, like slow drivers. People who let their dog bark all night. And then how about those people who go into the 20-item express lane at Walmart and begin to unload 60 items on that tiny little counter? And then, after they've done that, you have to exercise patience as they try to find their checkbook and write out the check and wait for the check approval to come through. You know what the Greek, underlying Greek term for patience really means? The Greek verb here literally means that we should knock ourselves out. You didn't know that's what patience meant, did you? We are to knock ourselves out in order to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit and the bond of Christ. You see, genuine Christians have all been redeemed by the same blood, the same precious blood of Jesus Christ. Every one of us should ask the Lord for the help and the power, and we should be eager to maintain the spiritual unity of the body of Christ as we are to maintain the individual calling to which God has given each one of us. Did you ever think that call is not singular? We're not just called to one thing, but both calls, the call to live a life worthy of the calling and the call to unity, both need and can hold the same sense of urgency in our lives. True spiritual unity doesn't begin with external structures, doesn't begin with the bricks or the mortar, but rather true spiritual unity comes from proper attitudes in each person's heart. Notice verses 4 to 6 of Ephesians chapter 4. After all this information, we're told to do everything we can to maintain unity. And again, we're given that list of 7 ways through which we experience spiritual unity. These are 7 ways that Christians can be united through being one body, one spirit, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Now, as the youth so well pointed out in their scripture jam and in their skit and in the children's story, the call to unity doesn't mean that we should always all act the same. It certainly doesn't mean that we all look the same. I don't know anyone here that has a twin today, right? And spiritual unity does mean that we should bring our diverse gifts together and to enrich the unity that we're called to demonstrate to a world that is often critical of the body of Christ. And then verse 7, this is so interesting. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. We don't decide who's to get how much grace, do we? That's the Lord's job. And God has richly and generously given each one of us special and unique spiritual gifts to use as we live out our calling and as we contribute to the growth of the body of Christ. I'd like us to take just a few moments for reflection this morning. I think we live in a time when many people are especially searching hard for a greater meaning and purpose in their lives. The world is rapidly changing in front of our eyes as our values, traditions, cultures, and assumptions of truth. I shared with my Sunday school class this morning a recent poll by the American Bible Society, which found out only 20% of the American people now regularly read their Bible and believe that the Bible is God's Word. And this American Bible Society poll went on the other side of the spectrum, and they found out 19% of all Americans hate Scripture and are proud to be considered God haters. You're probably thinking, wow, what about that 60% in the middle? That 60% in the middle, as well as the 19% of people who are identifying themselves as God haters, we need to keep praying and witnessing to them. Many people are searching for firm ground to plant their feet on. I want to think it's that 60%. What is our purpose in this place and in this time as followers of Christ? What are we called to be and to do with the life that God has given us? You know, Paul, the writer of Ephesians, he was an amazing example of somebody who met Jesus and his life turned around 180 degrees. Remember, he was a completely different person after he met Christ on the road to Damascus. And as he lived out his calling, what happened? What were the consequences? Well, he ended up living in prison. He served time in prison. He was beaten. And if you read the New Testament real closely, he was ridiculed and put down by the very Christians in the churches that he helped to establish. What was it that compelled Paul to live so radically with such purpose and such energy? Paul found something that I think many people today are desperately looking for. They are looking for a life worthy of the calling to which they were called. I want you to think about this. God is crazy about us. God loves each one of us. God created every person on this earth for a purpose. But sadly, so many people, they're zooming right past that purpose that God created them for. God wants to help us find out that calling to which we've been called. And God meets us in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ invites us to follow him. And every one of us, and I want everybody to hear this, I'm going to say this very slowly today. The Lord wants every one of us to be an exceptional. Did you hear what I said? An exceptional, not run-of-the-mill, but an exceptional individual following Jesus. And if we are an exceptional follower of Jesus, you know what's going to happen? We're going to find extraordinary things happen on our life's journey, just as our brother shared before he sang today, Brother Jack. But this extraordinary calling, and I want to encourage every one of you, if you don't know what your extraordinary calling is, don't wait. Find it out. This extraordinary calling isn't just an individual or a personal thing, but we are called to be what? A part of the body of Christ. We're called in verse 3 to make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know, following Jesus isn't something we can do all alone, is it? We need others to help us to hear our calling. We need others to help us to find our purpose in life. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are there to share the strength and the encouragement that we all need. Did you know there are hundreds of Christian denominations in the United States today? And since 1708, when the Church of the Brethren began, brethren have come to know a thing or two about conflicts that can happen when two or three are gathered. Yes, the brethren have experienced their share of church splits over the centuries. So we know well that our calling to be united in community is not an easy calling. At times, we too disagree. At times, every one of us has been hurt. At times, every one of us, and I feel it's often unintentionally, we deeply hurt somebody else. But at the same time that walking and working with other believers in Christ is difficult, it is essential, because if we don't stay together, we can't grow spiritually, we can't be healthy as individuals, as a congregation, we won't know what it means to have spiritual well-being. Did you know we are called to struggle together? And each day we're called to learn a little bit more of what it costs. Did you hear what I said? C-O-S-T-S. What it costs to show Jesus' love to other people. We're created to have fellowship with each other. It's so important, no matter how old we are, to make every effort to maintain that spiritual unity of the body of Christ. Because if people don't see that we have spiritual unity, they are going to say, your witness has been compromised. To proclaim peace, to proclaim reconciliation, to proclaim, I love Jesus, but to show internal divisions and lack of spirituality isn't very convincing, is it? And it isn't very authentic. We live in a world where divisions among people, between nations, and even within nations, and separation is increasingly the norm. Just listen to the radio, watch television. But yet, Christians are called to be a shining example of unity. We're not always going to agree, right? Sometimes we may be very passionate in our disagreements. But since our primary allegiance is to Jesus Christ, we can stay together. in order to live a life worthy of the calling that the Apostle Paul is inspired to write about here, in order to live a life worthy of the calling to which we've been called and to stay spiritually united, you know what God's given us? He's given each one of us different spiritual gifts. I believe that every born-again believer has at least one spiritual gift, and God has given each one of us unique and special gifts to help us fulfill our calling and help the body of Christ to grow.